morning, and if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 1, please. Luke's Gospel, the first chapter. I've entitled this message, Four Salvation Songs in Luke. Did you know in Luke's Gospel, the first two chapters, there's a lot of singing? Somebody, you can shake your head. Yeah? All kinds of singing there. I didn't realize there were four songs, and I read the Gospel of Luke a number of times. It just didn't dawn on me, and I was reading, thumbing through a book the other day. It had mentioned these four songs, and it titillized my gray matter. Been trying to think of something I can say different than interesting, so we'll say that for a while. I used to, I can remember a lady came here and was visiting our little church and said, well, actually her husband says, oh, I sat on the edge of their seat waiting for the kids to hear me say, la, la, quack, quack. Haven't said it much since. I thought, well, that sounds really strange. We'd better pray. Good idea? And this time I'm not going to ask, I'm going to remember that I prayed. Thank you, our Father, again for this good little group that's gathered together. We thank you, Lord, this morning for your word, that you love us, that you know us. Dear God, there's not a difficulty that's too great for you. Father, when Christ died on the cross, we realize and understand that it was for every sin. He bore our sins in his body. Dear God, we thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you, dear God, for the one who died for us, the person of Christ. Thank you that you're sovereign, dear God, and you're holy. You love us. For these few minutes we can have together as we examine these songs that are found in the first couple of chapters of Luke. Thank you for them in Christ's name. Amen. Did you ever feel that things are done maybe unfairly sometimes? I sat there this morning and I started to think as our Bible school students gave testimony as to what they would be doing. Naomi was on here speaking to us through the modern technology of our day. And you expected and we expect great things of our Bible school students, don't we? And I almost asked Mo to step out of the sound booth. For a minute, I thought his head was going to bust the glass. I looked over, and there's Nancy, same thing. And then I looked at a couple of brothers, and they couldn't matter them. Isn't it interesting how we are? We expect great things of our Bible school students. And we want them to come back from school, and we want them to stand up here in the church, and this is what I'm going to do next summer. This is what I'm going to do March break. And we're all proud and happy, and I'm thankful that God has set them aside and for what they're doing. We need to have a service someday, and we'll have the Bible school students come, and we'll do it this way. You ask us. You get everybody in the church, and you do the same as we do with you. You point your finger at somebody and say, you, right now, stand up. What are you going to do for the Lord this summer? Point at someone else. Don't warn them. Don't tell them. Say, what are you going to do for God during March break? What are you doing for the Lord right now? If you're here this morning and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, if you're a believer, you ought to be doing something for the Lord. You need to be studying Scripture as well. We're supposed to be students of the book, all of us. It just dawned on me how unfair, and I have a cop-out, I guess. I'm going to pastor Bethel Baptist Church. I'm going to preach every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, teach adult Sunday school class, teach on Wednesday night, sleep the rest of the week. That seems to be the thought, anyway. Listen, when you stop and look at it and think about it, and I want to look at these songs, but before I do, I was thinking about singing. How many of you have ever heard, I think it's My Eye is on the Sparrow, is that the name of the song? I sing because I'm happy? Huh? His eye is on the sparrow? Okay. I sing, how's it go? I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. I don't know why gay came to my mind. I'm glad that sounds better, free. Listen, the real truth is just this. People sing when they're happy. Those of us who can't sing sometimes hum or whistle. And when I was looking at these songs, I was thinking about an occasion here, something that took place not too long ago, but my granddaughter is, I think she's 9 or 8 or something. She's really young anyway. And it was getting really annoying to me one day because she was in my living room playing with some things there, whistling. It sounded horrible. It was all kinds of whistles and noises, and I looked over and I thought, I better not say don't whistle, because it indicated to me that this is a happy, content person. Cats purr. Lesher and Beta spare, and they purl. Fellow said to me one day, listen to that cat purling. What's that mean? But you know what? You have to be careful of how you speak, especially with Newfoundlandese, because I got in trouble last night because there's a big difference between naked buff and buff naked. I had suggested that someone was downstairs naked buff, which means they're not wearing a shirt, and I could tell by your face you thought I said that I was naked. No, it isn't. I wasn't quite naked. Listen, you have to be careful when you speak the things you say. It can get misinterpreted. The point is just this. When somebody sings, just all of a sudden, spontaneously, when singing breaks out, it's because the person is content. It's because the person is happy. It's because things are going somewhat. At the moment, at least, things are nice and so on. And when I started to look at these four songs, something stuck out in my mind that, well, I guess if I were to confess already to you that I hadn't thought about the fact there are four songs in the first two chapters of Luke, it obviously hadn't occurred to me what the songs were about. But I noticed that each of the four songs, first two chapters of Luke, had to do with salvation. And I got thinking about it. You know, the truth of the matter is salvation is very, very important. You can look at what we call the Christmas story, or you can celebrate however you like during this season or this time. And if you miss out on the fact that men and women and boys and girls are dying every day lost, they will spend eternity in the Christless hell because they heard nothing of salvation. When you look at the songs that we're going to look at here in a few minutes this morning, and we'll start with Mary, it had to do with salvation. First chapter in Luke. Just a little bit of background. Let's just think about this for a few minutes. And we talked about it some last week in December. We talk about the fact that a virgin shall conceive and have a son, Emmanuel, God with us. And we know that God gave us the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. God himself in the person of Christ lived here to pay the penalty for our sins. Christmas speaks of salvation. And I want you to imagine in your mind, if you will, a little bit. Here is a young lady that was about to be married. She knew no man. I don't want to get in a lot of talk about this idea of the virgin birth of Christ. Was Mary a virgin or was she not? It's not debatable. There's no question. It's very clear in Scripture. It's just this. If somebody suggests something different, they don't believe the Bible. They don't teach the Bible. So we won't spend a whole long time on that. Mary was confused, and the angel of the Lord spoke to her and told her that this child that you're about to have, Father is God himself. And it's interesting to me as we start to look here in the 46th verse, Mary's song of praise. what it says. Verse 46, Luke chapter 1. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. Through the centuries, since Abraham, since the promise would have been given, and the Hebrew women knew that one day the Messiah would be born of a woman, every woman would have wanted to have been the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think Mary, had God not kept her together, would have exploded. Think about the magnitude of what was going on in the life of this young person. And then Mary says it all here. She says, And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my what? My Savior. The song is about salvation. Mary would give birth to her own Savior. It says, For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all just generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm, and hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich has he sent away empty. He hath helped his servant, and so on, and so on, and so on. And as you read through this passage and read through this psalm, you would see that we have a God that looks at the hearts of people, and he knows us, and he understands us. He's not a respecter of persons. And God would have had looked at Mary and understood her heart. And understood that not because she was a particularly better than this woman or that woman, but her heart attitude toward God would have been right. And the Lord Jesus Christ was born of Mary. And when the announcement was made, she praised her God and she recognized him as Savior. Let's turn to another one. How about Luke backwards a little bit, chapter 1? I guess we was in chapter 1. Forward. Don't mind me. I have all kinds of infirmities. I could blame it on my glasses, but that wouldn't be the truth. I don't feel like going to confession this afternoon, so I'll just tell you the truth. I have some infirmities. I guess not being able to see well and being slow in thinking sometimes, that's not a sin, right? A fellow by the name of Zacharias, verse 67. Zechariah is looking at what we'll call this morning national salvation and so on. But it says here in verse 67, And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. And I like what he said. Look what it says. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And it gets interesting because once we get to this idea of the Lord Jesus Christ being the Son of David, is we have Christ as being the Son of God, and we have Christ as being the Son of man. And he speaks of salvation again in verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all that hate us. Excuse me, I looked at this song and I started to think about what was going on here in the mind of Zacharias. And I thought it's kind of interesting because we look in terms of salvation. And we look at it, I'm not saying we don't look at it right. Isn't it great to be saved? Isn't it great to know that if you were to die today, if something were to happen to you, that you would go to heaven? You'd go to be with the Lord. It's great to look at Scripture and understand and know that I don't have to face the punishment of hell. That's good. I'm happy about that. But when you look at this idea that the Lord has redeemed us and saved us from our enemy attacks us while we're still here on earth. Things happen to us before we die. Our salvation includes a whole lot that we just seem to miss. We're so concerned about what might happen to us when we die that we forget about the things that happen to us while we live. I want to tell you that life isn't always easy. Maybe some of you have noticed life isn't always fair. This is happening to me and I didn't do anything. The truth of the matter is, you have an enemy. There is a devil who hates you. Lucifer, Abaddon, Apollyon, whatever you want to call him. Satan, the wicked one, the father of lies, hates you. Hates God. Hates Christmas. Wouldn't be particularly glad with the song that was sung here in this passage. And as I looked through it and I thought about this idea of being saved from our enemies, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. We have an invisible enemy. I'm thankful for my salvation this morning, that I don't have any concern or any worry that one day that I will be lost. But I'm thankful this morning as well that when the wicked one comes, when the demons come, when the enemies come, when somebody who wishes to tear down anything that the Lord would accomplish in my heart and in my life and to destroy me, ruin the joy of my salvation, that I have a great God and we're saved from that as well. And as believers, we just sometimes seem to miss the mark. We think that salvation just has to do with future. Salvation has to do with now. Someone has put it, you know, we're saved from the penalty of sin, but do you know that we're also saved from the power of sin? I don't have to sin. I've thought about it so many times. There isn't any sense in asking you if you've ever sinned. I can look out across here this morning and without apology too much say that this room is full of sinners. You were born a sinner by inheritance. You've sinned by choice. We're sinners. That's just it. But I've looked at the Ten Commandments a number of times and wondered, you know, how come it's so hard to keep these ten little things? When you look at them one at a time, you know, say, okay, let's just say, thou shalt not steal. How hard would it be to go the rest of your life and never steal? That wouldn't be hard, right? And if you look at them all one at a time, it seems simple enough. Why would anybody do any of these? And then you'll find, before you put your head on your pillow tonight, if you were to look back, you've been involved in some of those already. The thing about salvation included in Zechariah's song is just this, that the Lord is, you know, it's a God of salvation, and it speaks of salvation from what's going on even now. And as believers, one of the things that we need to think about is Emmanuel, God with us, came and conquered death and hell and the grave and led captivity captive so we can be set free from the enemy now. We have access to the throne of grace now, this morning. And God can help us now, and we know that one day we will be saved from even the presence of sin. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 12, the angelic host. Found it interesting as I looked through this little song. We had mentioned it last week. Verse 10, it says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Do you think that's right? Does all people really mean all people? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ came to set all people free from the penalty of sin, from the bondage of sin? Biggest problem with most of us is our own sin nature. I've said this a number of times. You were born with an overabundance of self-righteousness, and so was I. Seems to be if there's a problem, it's somebody else's. But it's interesting, again, it says, for the angel said unto them, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, and it says, a Savior, who is Christ the King. Once again, we see the word Savior mentioned. We see the idea of a necessary salvation. Do you know every time we look and see the word Savior, we see the word salvation, it carries with it the idea that something has to have been lost. I sat in my office the other day and I was thinking about things in terms of salvation from a practical human point of view. I've shared with you before that I had a friend who tried to rescue an infant sibling from a house fire, 15, 16 years old. And he burned to death just inside the door trying to rescue his brother, I believe it was. You know, his parents tried to hold him and the firefighters tried to hold him, and he got away and he ran into a burning house. because he wanted to rescue someone who would be lost. They were both lost. And I was thinking of a situation that took place, and my mother was so angry about this because on a road close to my hometown, there had been a car accident. Someone left the road, and a car was upside down in the water. And there was a gentleman that I knew personally was standing outside, and you could hear people screaming from inside the car. He was afraid of water. He wouldn't make an effort to go in and try to rescue the people because he was afraid that he would drown. Someone else came along, asked no questions, boom, dove in and saved them. Did you ever stop and think of the Lord Jesus Christ praying, "If this cup be passed from me," and sweating great drops of blood? The Lord Jesus Christ, looked at the cross and knew that he had to suffer and that he had to bleed and that he had to die. He had to suffer something that you will never experience as a believer. He was forsaken by his Father. And God the Father had to turn his back on Christ. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Philippians chapter 2 said that he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Not my will, but yours. When we think in terms of Christ as being the Savior, he was our Savior, and like the man who dove in the water, you know, the guy who dove in there knew that the possibility existed that I could die, but I'm going to try to save these people. Christ knew that he would die and that the penalty would bring justification. And he's risen, the Bible says. And I like the fact when you look through this that the Lord Jesus Christ is also coming back to take us, his bride, home. Well, there's another song that I would look at this morning, Luke chapter 2, verses 29 through 32. Luke 2, 29. Maybe we'll begin to read in verse 25. Help us a little bit here. It says, and behold, Luke 2:25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Here's a man who had experienced God the Holy Spirit working in his life before the day of Pentecost. And he was looking forward, having known what the law had said, and he knew that the Messiah would come, that a Savior would come. And he was anticipating the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was waiting. He was waiting like us as believers. We know that Christ is coming back, and we're waiting and anticipating, right? And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Can you imagine what it must have been like for him? He knew that he wouldn't die before the Messiah would come. If you knew that, if you knew that in your lifetime the rapture were to take place, you'd be looking for it every day, wouldn't you? And he was there, and he was waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Verse 27, it says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy what? He saw salvation. And the interesting thing, as I sat and I was reading through that little booklet the other day, and I thought, these four songs, I'll just read them. And as I read through them, I discovered these songs all had to do with salvation. Salvation was important. When I tell you the truth of the matter is, when you stop and look at it and you see that salvation is included here, those who were close to God in those days knew that the Lord Jesus Christ came as a Savior. Do you know what the problem in our churches in Christendom? and so on today. We preach easy believism to the extent that people don't any longer recognize that we need a Savior. The world needs a Savior this morning. As I look across this crowd, I know most of you personally, but the truth of the matter is, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're lost. If those who are in your friends or in your family haven't trusted Christ as their Savior, they're lost. They need to see Christ as a Savior. And when we look at Christmas time, all too often we will see that the Lord Jesus Christ came and so on, and just by the authority of Scripture in the first two chapters in the Gospel of Luke, what was Christmas about? God sent the Lamb of God to be the Savior of the world. The fact that He was a Savior carries with it the idea that men were lost, and men are lost. As we celebrate the Christmas season, as we look at these things, we need to make sure that the message that we put out is just this, that Christ came into the world, the Savior. And as believers this morning, that we would keep in mind just this, that He's the Savior from the penalty of sin, but He's also the Savior from the power of sin. And if you're here this morning and you're a believer, and the wicked one has his talons or his claws and his clutches, and he has you in bondage, that you can be set free through Christ now. It isn't a matter that we have to wait until we die to be set free. We can be set free this morning. How? This is the hard part. Somehow, we need the grace to trust Him. I can tell you from experience what happens in my life so many times. Is there will be a crisis, there will be a difficulty, there will be a problem. And I try to fix it. Truth of the matter is, if we look to God's Word and we trust Him, He knows the hearts of everyone involved and where they are on the wheel. You know, Jeremiah 18, the potter's wheel. He shapes us and He molds us and He makes us. I just wanted to remind us this morning through these four songs that when we celebrate Christmas, let's remember that what it's about. It's about the Savior. He came to save and to seek, or seeking to save, that which was lost. Let's pray. Thank you again, our Father, for the few minutes we've had. Thank you for your word. And dear God, we thank you for the theme of these two chapters this morning, that is salvation. For the one who came to pay the penalty for our sin. Lord, I pray if there's one here this morning who's outside of Christ, that you would draw them, that you'd convict them. Lord, if there's someone here who's a believer who's in bondage to a habit, to a lifestyle, to a sin, give them the strength they need to repent and to turn to you. And Lord, that we know that we have salvation from the enemy as well. And Lord, again, that we'd be zealous witnesses for you in Christ's name. Amen.